This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. This is part two of a four-part series about iFloor. My guest is Steve Simonson, the president and CEO of Smooth Corporation, the parent of iFloor. Now, you had an entry on your blog, which you can access on iFloor.com, I'll hasten to add, where you discussed the possibility that discounting online, I guess, has the potential to disappear. This was a Supreme Court ruling. It overturned, I guess, a part of the Sherman antitrust rule that's been around for, what, 100 years or so? I don't know how long. That it looks like this law that had prohibited price fixing by manufacturers, which also includes setting a minimum price, is maybe being or has been looked at and changed a bit. Explain all this to us, if you would. What's this all mean?
Well, I mean, of course, this is just a layperson's opinion. I don't know nothing about nothing, particularly legal stuff. But from my perspective, in the last part of June, the Supreme Court handed down a decision that overturned a 96-year-old rule called the Dr. Mills Rule. And this basically was a rule that said any agreement between retailers and manufacturers to set a price that the retailer will sell the product for is per se illegal, basically automatically illegal. And they changed it to say, hey, listen, we're going to say it's not per se illegal. We're going to say it has to be done on a case-by-case basis. But the Federal Trade Commission noted in their opposition to the this particular case that by moving it to a case-by-case, unless the company is a monopoly, it's going to be almost impossible for an antitrust suit to be brought. So when you boil it all down, what it means is manufacturers and retailers will have the ability to say, here's the minimum sale price that you can sell the product at, not advertise it, right, but sell the product at in your own store. And what that does is failure to comply leaves basically a no problem for the manufacturer to cut off that particular retailer. And so discounters like Amazon.com, you know, Overstock.com, Smart Bargains, iFloor, we all have to be very cognizant of what those manufacturing policies are and basically comply or drop the lines.
I see.
And so assuming a manufacturer decides to adopt the policy, and there's reasons why they may not want to.
I see. Now, you mentioned the word agreement. Now, this only affects situations where the manufacturer and the retailer have entered into some kind of agreement as to the minimum price?
Not necessarily. A manufacturer could say, okay, here's our program. You know, by signing here, you order the display, and you agree to show it, and you're going to represent it well, and you agree to sell at this price. It doesn't have to be a negotiated situation. It can be a dictated situation that says everybody's going to be on the same plan, and there can be no variance from the plan.
So a retailer wouldn't sign an agreement per se just by doing business, then you basically agree to whatever the conditions are.
Yeah, it's again, it doesn't take active participation on the part of each individual retailer to become part of the process. By de facto carrying the rack or carrying the brand, there's an implied agreement, or there are other methods of gaining that agreement through the, you know, distributor or whatever. But the reality is manufacturers now have the authority to set whatever prices they believe are a fair minimum. And again, if they so choose, then they can enforce that. There are many manufacturers that I would suspect, again, across the board, not just for the flooring category, that will adopt these types of policies. Think of dominant brands like Louis Vuitton or you know, Microsoft selling Windows or Apple iPod. These are examples of products that have been pretty maintained to begin with in terms of price. And they will have carte blanche to do whatever they want to do. It's a lot tougher when you think about floors to, you know, figure out who may decide to go on ahead and raise the prices or set a minimum price, assuming it's higher than a discounted price, because they have global competition. So there's a lot of factors involved, And it'll be anybody's guess on who adopts what policy and how they'll roll it out.
I see. Now, this particular Supreme Court ruling that we're talking about was over a brand name. It was for purses, if I'm not mistaken. Does this, or the way you see this, does this interpret only to these well-established brands that you mentioned, and there's a bunch of others? Of course, I think Nike you mentioned, Ralph Lauren, Apple, and a bunch of other ones. The way you look at this, does it only affect these well-established brands, or is everybody in the same boat?
Well, everybody's in the same boat from a legal standpoint. I mean, any brand, any manufacturer has the opportunity to set prices. And you should set prices that you think are feasible. I mean, at the end of the day, the Supreme Court said, listen, we still believe in price competition. We still believe in free enterprise and capitalism. So we think that manufacturers are smart enough to say, you know, don't set a minimum price that is too high for your retailers to be competitive in the market at large. So in the hardwood category, you have, you know, 30 companies that sell a red oak 2.25 solid. And so there's enough competition, it doesn't really matter what the brand name is. If one guy sets his price too high, he's going to lose the sales. And so in a commoditized situation, it's a much more difficult formula to figure out. And therefore, it'll be interesting to see what happens in our category.
I see. In terms of floor covering sales online, are the commodity products the ones that people get the most, or that independent retailers get the most upset about, or just products across the board?
Well, I think it goes back to the more of an emotional reaction, not a strategic, individually thought out proposition. You know, I don't want that brand being sold online. They have no overhead, you know, whatever the common refrain is. The reality is, you know, if it's a brand that they carry, they don't want any competition. They don't want the guy down the street selling. They don't want the guy online selling. Basically, if they were the only guy that sold it, that would be fine by them.
I see. Can you say that I suspect lower-end products sell more effectively on the Internet than high-end products? I guess that would be true across the board in any industry, wouldn't it?
Well, not necessarily. I think, you know, in the flooring category, you'd be surprised. I think our average price per square foot sold through is higher than people think it is. I think that under any sales proposition, you just have to demonstrate value, and you're getting the customer to, you know, exchange their big old stack of money for a big old stack of value. You either have it or you don't. And customers have different objectives. There's the contractors who are, you know, get about the low price, let's just get it done on time. And there's the consumers who say, I want to make my house, you know, a castle, and they put in the, you know, the $10 square foot product. So I don't think it's automatic to assume that a low-end product is what is more conducive to online sales or e-commerce sales. But I do think that consumers are highly tuned into value, and the price competition online is definitely very noticeable.
Everybody wants a deal regardless of where they are in terms of what they're willing to spend.
Sure. I think, you know, the some of the things online that are potentially victims, you know, there's been shopping comparison engines online like MySimon.com, BizRate.com, these types of enterprises, Shopping.com, for example. All of these would say, oh, 80 gig Apple iPod video, and they would show all the consumers' prices, and they would show all the, or not the consumers, but the retailers' prices and shipping offers. And it's a perfect competitive situation for consumers to just decide who's got the best rating, who's got the lowest shipping price, and the lowest cost on the item, and make their choice on that basis. These guys have a much tougher job if everybody's got the exact same price and the exact same offer. Only differentiating factors, what I call value adds, will become relevant. That's a new form of competition online.
That's interesting. Well, it's a perfect market, really, is it not?
It's if everybody's competing on something other than price, it just changes the focus of what that competitive point is.
Or if everybody has the same price.
Correct.
Or at least a lot of them do. Okay, this will conclude the second part of a four-part conversation. We're talking about iFloor. My guest is the president of that organization. His name is Steve Simonson. We'll air the third part of this conversation tomorrow. This is Floor Radio.